You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the UCB Long-Form Conversations podcast from Los Angeles. I'm Marissa Strickland. I was the guest on the last episode, but today I am the host. And my guest today is Ruha Taslimi, who improv fans might know from her mess hall Trish and mess hall team Trish, and also Characters Welcome, and probably many other things that I don't know.
No, that's probably maybe a couple other things.
Yeah, I'm sure. That I probably do know. I know that like one of my favorite things I've ever seen you do, you played Kathy Najimy at this like one-off show that we did around Christmas. And it was the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life.
Well, I think that was the show where we were writing bits for each other, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. We didn't know what we were going to get, and then we just had to like pick up the note card and do it.
Yes, maybe it was. I forgot that was part of the element.
And Oscar made me do a rap as Kathy Najimy, and he had Sean Fisher there to beatbox.
It was truly amazing. Like, I was like, I want to see you as this character all the time.
I have been told I look like Kathy Najimy from the time I was a very little kid.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, so, and then she was like kind of the first impression I decided to do because I was like, oh, I've heard this my whole life and I see it.
I love her. I think she's so wonderful and talented and funny.
Yeah, she's so great. And so it's fun. I do like a Hocus Pocus. And
can we? Yeah. I want more. But I guess today is mostly about improv.
Yeah.
Not characters.
I mean, they're so related, though, for sure. The only reason I know how to do characters is because of my improv training.
Tell me about that. Yeah. What is that? How do you think those two things dovetail?
I mean, for me, like, that's how I learned about comedy and like playing a person, and they're both, you know, the characters you find in your improv lead to like the kind of simple characters you would find to play a character, I think, like a clear point of view.
Yeah.
And emotion, like who is this person? And yeah, I don't know. They're very, very interconnected to me. Because I've done mostly improv training wise.
Yeah.
Like definitely it's like 95% of the classes and work I do are improv. But I feel very comfortable in sketch and character.
That's so cool.
And I've gotten to do a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, but I haven't done a lot of training, technically. I haven't done a lot of the like classes for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I feel like improv, you know, just it's what I heard in what you said was that like part of your approach had to do with understanding who a character was, and you kind of started to understand that through improv, like, which I think is so cool because like my brain doesn't like historically anyways doesn't approach it like, oh, what does this character think and feel, which should be part of what we are doing within that. But I'm like, oh, what's happening here in this context? Like, I'm so focused on the outside rather than like just finding that one simple character lens and then looking through it. Is that
for me, like, improv, I mean, it's so many things, but just, like, I was just thinking recently, like, it's humanity. Like, it's truly connecting to humanity and human experience.
Yeah.
And I've developed so much as a person, like, doing it. I mean, when we start out, like, oh, I was trying so hard to be good at this thing. And
of course, yeah, because like we're learning the rules. And yeah. We're like, we have to do it this way when that isn't.
Yeah, and trying so hard to like have the brain I was seeing other like I did. Things were so weird to me, like through the entire core curriculum.
Totally.
Game was a mystery.
Me too. And, yes.
Like,
yes.
I was like, my brain doesn't work this way. I also felt too weird.
Yes.
I was like, I am too weird.
Yes.
That what they think is normal, I've never been.
Hello. I know you weren't here, but I was just saying this with Kimia. Like,
yeah.
Like, I was like, I realized through improv that most people don't think the way that I think. Like, where I'm living in my body, I'm thinking this is normal. And then as I'm going through improv, I start to, like, say things in scenes which I think are normal things that mm-hmm. people would say in that context. And everyone's like, whoa, that's a new unusual thing we have to follow now.
Yeah.
And I would like overtake the scene with a new weird thing when we already had a weird thing going on.
For sure.
But I didn't understand it.
I didn't understand.
Yeah.
But also now I do. So I either
explain
built
that.
The brain.
I want to know. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I mean, I love improv so much. I love so much about it. Like, it's therapy. It's I mean, I got into it because I wanted to be a performer, but I was like ready for like to start whatever at a rough history of,
I want
to
like, yeah I'm sorry yeah. We just kind of blew past I want to know everything about you and we'll come back. All right, great.
Okay, so we're going back to how I started.
Yes, please. Okay. Please tell me, because are you from Los Angeles originally?
I am, yeah.
So am I, and I think that's very cool.
And we also both went to UC Santa Cruz.
Yes. Ah, that is so cool. I transferred there because I was a really poor student in high school, so I had to go to junior college first.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, let's start my story there.
Yes, please, please. Go, go, go. I'm sorry.
It gives a taste of where I came from. My family are Persian. Persian New Year's coming up when we're recording this. So that's going to, that's really going to taint the experience for the listeners.
I think it'll open up their minds. They'll be like, that happened weeks ago.
This
but
is
we're
dated.
Still
yeah, this is still fresh. Fresh info.
But also, who knows when these people are listening to it? It could be March of next year when they're listening to this.
This is a timeless episode. So my family is Persian, and I only say that to say that this is definitely, I don't know if it's definitely a cultural thing, but also, of course, specifically
your family.
My
also.
Family has decided to take it on, but they're, you know, the idea of pursuing arts as a serious thing or as a career is not a thing.
Okay. For a second, I was like, wow, that's so cool. You had a family that was like, go art.
No.
But you're saying it's the opposite.
And it's interesting because there are a couple artists in the family, not my immediate family that I was raised with, but in our extended family, and people seem to be highly supportive of them. But the message was very clear, you know, like, this stuff is not to be pursued, like. And that's hard because they had two artist children, and, you know, a lot of trauma in the family. My family are Baha'i, which is a religion that is really persecuted heavily in Iran, the country that it started in and mm-hmm. that a lot of the followers are still in. And so around the time I was born, things escalated and they started like rounding up Baha'is and killing them. And my father's father was taken and
no.
Yeah. We never knew what happened to him. And so there's like a lot of trauma there, and I understand the world they come from, but whatever. My father was very intense about, you know, not liking the things that I naturally liked. And mm-hmm. so I tried really hard to, he wanted me to pursue business and math and blah, blah, blah. And so the last thing I, so for college, they also had really high bar. He like forced me to apply to MIT. He had his like own failed MIT experience that he wanted me to like make up for. Fast forward, the only realistic school he let me apply to was UCLA. And my grandfather had like, he was a professor there, and he wrote a letter to them telling them not to let me in.
What?
What? He, like, said the school wasn't good enough for me.
And, like, oh, my God.
He, like, told them off about their school. What an insane family. I love them, but sometimes.
Can I say, like, one day, if you feel up to it, I would love to read this script and see it, because this is amazing.
Yeah, it's too much info, not about improv, so let's get back to improv. But basically, when you apply to UC, all of them get you. So I got an acceptance letter from UC Santa Cruz, and my family also would not allow me to go to community college. Mm-hmm. So they forced me to go there. But didn't really work out. I never, like, took to anything. I was an artist, and I was figuring it out. It took me, like, all of my 20s, I kept dabbling as far as I could go. I was like a stylist assistant mm-hmm. to this great guy. I was working with bands and like helping them and managing, but not really managing. I never wanted to do the business managing side. It was always like helping create the video or styling again or whatever. And it took me like working. I got forced to work for my family's construction company. I like was the sickest I've ever been and the most depressed.
You think your body reacted to being in that situation?
I think my body, which came first? Like, there's so much trauma from so young that I don't know if that created everything going on with me, but I do definitely believe in, like, mind over matter. So hit my personal rock bottom, like early 30s, and
I just wanna hug
got
right
my
now.
Life together, and like full time started doing just health stuff. There was like a good 2 years before I started taking classes here that I was just doing therapy and like physical therapy and seeing doctors like every day, and got diagnosed with like a few things that were at least pathways to like treatment of like fibromyalgia and Epstein-Barr virus, which affect my immune system, and I have chronic pain, and then at least knowing something.
Yeah, and I feel like both of those, and I only have like the tiniest knowledge on it, but they're also kind of like a collection of like manifestations of illness too, that mm-hmm. kind of like sometimes, you know,
they're very broad.
They're broad in a way that sometimes I think people searching for diagnosis have a hard time because there isn't one clear pathway to treat. Yeah, that's so hard.
And yeah, so I just like, I found my things that work. I do lots of like physical therapy. I do improv. I did therapy. Improv is wonderful therapy. And like, I got to the point where I was like, oh, I know what I want to do. I was actually working with this band and we did a live performance of the movie Fantastic Planet at CineFamily. This is like 10 years ago now, or 8 or 9. How long have I been doing improv? And I like did the voice actors, and my family came, and my dad was very supportive, and doing it too reawakened like how much I loved it. Yes. And I was like, oh, this is me, because I didn't know who I was like when I had gone into that period. I was
of
just
course.
So lost.
Yes.
You know? So I was like, well, I think I want to start taking classes. And they were supportive suddenly, where before it was like, you're not my daughter, basically, if you like pursue this stuff. And I was just like, okay, I'll take it. Like, great. And I don't know. I knew nothing about UCB, and I just thought improv would make me a better performer. And I started here, and I fell so in love. And I also, like, grew as a person. I mean, I was like, yeah.
What you just said, I feel very connected to in terms of there was, like, a 10-year period in my life where I was told like I couldn't pursue art, and I was like, mm-hmm. naturally my parents were like, yes, do art. And then when it came around time to about high school, they were like, oh no, art isn't a real thing. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. And I became incredibly depressed. I started like, you know, drinking and doing drugs and like all of this stuff that took me out of my space.
Yeah.
My body also, you know what I mean? I wasn't present, and you know, I didn't have illnesses, but I was not myself.
Yeah.
And I think that like I'm curious to know like what your thoughts are, and then it changed when I started mm-hmm. pursuing acting and mm-hmm. comedy. What are your thoughts on that? Like, is it, do you think that like an artist like has this, like there's something in us that's like, this is right, when you're in the right zone, and then being taken away from those activities, those things that bring us life and joy, do you think that that pulls us away? Or I don't know. I just think that's so interesting, all of what you said.
Yeah, I mean, like, to not be doing what... I think a lot that's connected to improv itself. Like, I think to be a good improviser, you need to be yourself as authentically as possible and trust that you're enough and you know... But that takes a lot.
It takes a lot to find your voice
and know it and not be so scared of, like, doing the wrong thing or, like, trying too hard to do the right thing. Like, all these things. I wish I could just... like, give everybody a hug and be like, just that you're here is, like, so great. And, like, it means something. And, like, just keep being here and getting more and more comfortable to, like, share
your experience.
Real self. Because I think, like, my favorite kind of improv is connected, emotional, like, vulnerable. So, you know, just, like, affected human beings. My teachers that had big impacts on me, like... early, even when I wasn't ready for it and couldn't do it, like Eugene Cordero, so much like demanded that that humanness and the simplicity.
Yeah,
there's something like there's stuff we're just like glossing by because we're so panicked trying to like do this thing that is really hard to do.
Right, and I feel like he, when I've had him as like a coach, because I've never taken him as, you know, an instructor for a class, but he'd be like, did you guys like what you just did? And he'd like ask that and everyone would be like, no, we just thought we had to do it that way.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, no, like follow what you love.
Yeah.
I have a question based on what you just said too. Were there any moments where you felt yourself becoming more yourself or opening up or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being like, I'm showing myself now. What was any one of those or multiple if you have them?
Yeah, there's so many that it's kind of hard.
Yeah. You can just do one then.
To pinpoint. Oh my God.
Or something that was meaningful to you along the way.
I mean... I will say, and this is not a paid infomercial for boot camp, but I do improv boot camp, and I've done it every month for years now. And it's just Monday through Friday, 12 to 2 at the clubhouse, like with great coaches. And I've grown so much there.
There's
so many bits of wisdom that unlocked things in my brain. Interactions with teammates were like growing spurts or, you know, like when things get hard or the way you like handle things with people or vice versa. Getting to know how to work with like so many people and build something so positive together, like being the type of person that can do that and be present to do that is always like making me level up. And when I'm feeling stuck in improv, when I'm having a thing where, you know, we all have like that's kind of a slump in an area or something where you're just like,
and they happen, you know, you're like, why is this happening now?
Like, I've been doing this so long, how is this happening?
I should know this already or whatever.
I try to remind myself that like a growth spurt's happening because it is, and eventually I'll see it. So I think of the like those moments, like when I'm in a slump or something, I'm just like, oh, I'm about to figure something out about myself.
And that's like, so cool to remember because I think in life and in any kind of creative thing, like we can fall in those pockets of like a darker period or just kind of like a ugh kind of period.
But and I focus on like supporting other people, which I love about this so much is just like, okay, get outside of myself. Like, this isn't about me. I'm trying to be, like, the best tool for it. I'm trying to, like, open... I don't know. I'm such
this.
A pure artist.
Yes,
I'm just,
yes,
like, I just
want
to, like, open my heart and, like, connect with
this
people.
This is all I want.
And I think what's, like, funny to people is connection or, like, those moments where you're, like, I recognize that. That's relatable and that's real. Like, whatever quote-unquote bad improv is, to me, it's... confusing. It's like I literally can't. Oh, I'm so sorry. I hit the mic. That's what
I'm a hand talker.
I agree. Things where you're like, what is this reality? No one's behaving like a human. What am I supposed to be focused in on? I don't get it.
And I'm not a like, I don't know. I tried and I'm sure I'm a funny joke writer in some sense, but I'm not like, I don't know. I'm not a quick like, sketch writer or whatever, and when I try to force things in a way that some people can play game, I can't play game that way. That's
I think different brains work different. There's some people that have that like they can see the end of the joke as they're starting to articulate it at the beginning of the sentence, and like you know, sometimes I'll know what I'm going to say, and then sometimes I'm like, I'm trying to get out this feeling or this vibe. Like, I know that this image that just flashed in my head is important, and I'm going to try to say it. Yeah. And sometimes it's good, and then sometimes it's like, what? I don't know.
Yeah, and in premise work specifically, like, there's a different, because I love surprises in improv. Surprising myself is the best.
Yeah.
Surprising myself and being able to like hear it and do it. What a magical experience. Like, and just like finding those things and what happens. So like letting go of what's going to happen. But then there's premise where you want a little bit of what you want to happen to happen. And I love the patience and the connection of that. But I think still in that, the surprises are still the best part. Your straight man labeling you with something you couldn't quite see about what you were bringing
to
your unusual thing. Like, oh, I did say that in an embarrassed way.
Yeah.
And like, and I try to remember those things. I try to remember to attach like a feeling to my unusual, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I am like trying to convince you to do some weird workout routine that works for me. Like, am I embarrassed about that? If I am, that's my whole roadmap for how to play this.
Yes. I think like one thing that we don't talk about enough is emotion. And I think just like having one clear emotion within whatever the unusual thing is and heightening that emotion is one really easy, visceral, direct route to game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's so cool that I feel like I'm just starting to understand that. So that's cool that you like have that locked into your,
I mean, nothing's play. Locked in. That's the wonderful thing about this. Like you're always growing, like you're always working, you're always honing. I think the people that love it don't go away and they're doing it. And if they're doing it, like you are constantly leveling up as a performer, which then connects to a human being, which connects to being just a friend, a family member, like, oh. Yeah. I haven't cried yet, which I'm really proud of, because I was pretty sure this was going to be the first episode where someone just cries.
I was very cognizant of that coming in. I was like, what if I cry?
Yeah.
I have a question that's like kind of unrelated, but kind of like to me. When you're doing improv, obviously there's no script. There's nothing, you know, we don't come in with preconceived stuff aside from maybe an opening that we generate together. You know, whatever we're
whoops, I shouldn't be here. I've been doing this wrong.
Oh, you've been writing your scripts?
No wonder it's been working.
But like, how, and this is like a larger thing that's like related to improv, but not like, what's your take or any thoughts on where our ideas come from in those moments? How do you perceive that? Or how do you, like, do you know what I mean? Like, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I'm very drawn to openings with real experiences. And for me, like, a label heavy living room is my favorite, and not heavy, like too heavy, just like engaged, like a living room that's not back to back stories, a living room that you're asking questions about the story. And yeah, if there's a label or a funny thing you notice, you are saying it.
Yeah,
and
like
you all hear it.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, it sounds like you were embarrassed to teach that workout class or something like that.
Yes,
just so
exactly.
Someone's reframing what they're seeing in your story.
And so I love that kind of opening. But also because I love that kind of opening, I feel like I can pull better and do better at, like, pattern game, which seems hard sometimes. But again, pattern game, it's about connecting for me. Like, yeah. It's like you are enjoying each other. You are, it sounds so simple and dumb, but, like, it makes a huge difference to remind myself to, like, look at everyone and keep my head up and, like, really try to connect with them during it and not care so much about what the words are and where, like, just trust that it's going to go to something and, you know, and it does, it's possible, but
yes,
it does feel hard sometimes, to get there. It, like, puts, at least for me, like, my experience, it puts people around me in their head more than other openings. And, but I think it's a great one too.
What I think is hard about it is that, like, everyone's working and everyone's independently thinking about the next thing. So, mm-hmm. But then you have to let go of it really fast once the next thing has been said.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, like, potential into reality and then potential into reality. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to articulate your idea fast.
Yeah. It's really fast. And it's a great, like, writer one, for sure. And I'm looking for, like, a specific, Susie Barrett always says to, like, extract your premise like a surgeon. Mm. Like, take your specific thing and leave the rest behind.
Love,
like,
that.
And your specific thing for me will a lot of times include a point of view that happens in the opening. Like, I'll try to bring the whole thing. If that feeling of embarrassment was tied to the workout, I'm not just going to bring workout, or I'm not just going to bring embarrassed, you know,
like, yeah.
I'd be leaving half of the premise behind. but also if it was, like, embarrassed about a workout routine while I was at a game at Dodger Stadium with my dad, I'm not going to bring Dodger Stadium or my dad, you know?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. It's only extracting the part that spoke to you specifically, that feels like enough to hang, mm-hmm. At least the initiation on, and then we'll kind of figure out why she's embarrassed or what's going on within the scene.
And obviously it's something that was funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, embarrassed about a workout routine. That tickles me.
Yeah.
I know what's funny about that, and I know what I want to play about that, and it is just that. I just think it's funny to be embarrassed by your workout routine, you know? And, like, who is that person? I'll find them in the scene.
Have you always been able to know what you found funny, or has it been?
Okay. I mean, I knew my laugh. I knew when I was laughing, mm-hmm. and I knew that I thought it was funny. But why? Oh no!
I feel like it takes an extra step, and, like,
really be able to put it into words, at least, or trust myself even to put it into words. It's like when you're starting and they want you to say what game is. Seems so hard to do.
Yeah.
And I loved a thing that Fernie, for me, was a teacher I worked with that said this, and I believe he got it from Matt Walsh or one of those people. he would just have us, it's been a long time since this happened, so hopefully I'm getting this right, but I believe we would just start with, like, what if. He just had to say the words what if to start us talking, and it's so weird how it helped.
Yeah.
Similarly, like, James Mastriani, who I've worked a ton with, is a really great coach. He, like, for labeling, just tells us to start by just saying, it seems like you. You know, just, like, using the training wheels of, like, this kind of language to get you talking, and then say what you see.
Like, and I think, especially as we're starting to have just, like, a little phrase that, like, to you knows, mm-hmm. that, so, like, the person who's labeling knows this is the framework, and then the person who's receiving is like, oh, they're using the framework.
Yeah,
words.
I know what that
so
is.
So I can lock into it too, and that's just not another piece of information that's superfluous that we're going to pass by. It's going to be like, ooh, how can we lock into this? Does my character feel that label is correct? If so, let's start digging into it. Mm-hmm. If it isn't exactly what my character is, then articulate what the point of view is that I'm actually doing, if it is slightly different.
Yeah. Totally.
I love that. And sometimes you'll adjust and just take over that point of view. But sometimes if it is something more specific, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I've ever had that pointed out. You know what I mean? As, like, mm-hmm. here, use these words as, like, a little touchstone so that everybody on the team will know this is what's happening in this moment. I love that.
And then
that.
You start to, like, notice without the words or whatever.
Exactly.
But it gets you going. Yeah, it's really great. I was also just, I don't know, it just popped into my head. Probably because I mentioned James, who coaches at Improv Bootcamp. This is not an official commercial or infomercial.
But we will hit on it a couple more times.
But it's just a big part of my training
experience. Yeah.
He unlocked a lot of like how to be a human in these scenes for me in his own ways. And one of the things that he said that I just thought of was, you know, realizing like the unusual person is a full person. Like they're, he has like a werewolf analogy that like they're a human being. And when the moon is full, they turn into a werewolf. So the moon being full is whatever stimulates the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the workout routine.
Yeah.
If the workout routine is there, he's embarrassed. If the workout routine is not there, he's just like a person.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just, I don't know. That helped a lot to, like, figure out that one was a person, too.
Yeah, because, well, yeah, because I'll see it in, like, you know, students that are just starting to learn games.
Yeah.
Like, they're speaking like little robots where they're like, yes, mom, you look like a baby. You know what I mean? Like, where they're not even being, like, humans yet.
Yeah.
And they have it at the beginning, and then they lose it because they're so focused on the rules.
I think it's the key to Great Voice of Reason, too, because, like, why would you be affected in a real situation? Like, what's the humanity of it? Like, the voice of reason is what you're hearing. Like, it's the voice we're all hearing in our heads watching it. We're like, what is this? So when they put it to words, it's great.
I have a question.
But I don't like it if it's, like, really mean. That's not my style. I mean, maybe some people can pull it off in a really funny way, but, I don't know. Like, sometimes, like, I just think of sometimes straight manning gets to the point where you're like, oh, that's just shutting stuff down.
How do you deal with that? That's so curious to me because I think that there is this like line where like you need to call out the weird thing, probably dislike it or have a feeling on it in some way. You know, if it's not the normal way of doing business, you know, what's going on there, whatever your feeling is. And then how do you personally allow the scene to progress forward rather than, like, halting it? Because I think some people get scared of, like, stopping the behavior.
Because especially because I will stop. I mean, if I get called out hard enough for some behavior and I'm playing this embarrassed workout routine guy as an embarrassed workout routine guy who's a real person and, like, I don't know, you tell me to just stop doing the workout routine, I'm going to go away from that workout routine. Like, there's no way I'm going back to it, maybe.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You just trust that, like, for me, I trust that, like, hopefully having the point of view, I'll either figure out a different way or, frankly, I think it's very funny to see people trying not to do the thing that they want to do or trying to avoid the thing that they compulsively have to do. So even, like, trying not to do it, it's funny as long as you're like showing that.
Yeah. The struggle of the person.
The struggle
person
of
that,
like, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore,
out.
But it's right there, you know?
That is so funny because that is truly such a human thing that, like, I know I battle with all the time where I'm like, I shouldn't go, like, get another snack, but I want that snack and I'm going to keep thinking about it until I go eat it.
And you just said if I eat another snack, you're walking out. So I'm definitely not going
to. I'm like,
to.
And I care about you, you're my partner, but I want that snack.
And even if it comes to just being like, I'm sorry, I want that snack.
I love you so much, honey. I'm sorry, I need it.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
And I think it's like playing with those real human things, like you said. Those human things are the biggest. They're the most funny because people are
like, I know
crazy
that.
And wonderful. And so dumb.
We're all really funny. Honestly, people in comedy are some of the funniest people.
And people not in comedy. Like, I'll walk down the street and I'll be like, this guy's crazy and funny.
That's what I'm saying. Like, your very serious family members are, like, really funny.
They're funnier than you'll ever be. So stop. So just stop trying.
They play their games so hard. They never break character. It is funny to watch people taking things very seriously also. Like, just like somebody that's like very committed to like whatever their point of view is when it's like a dumb specific. Yeah, I love that too.
Nope, I know I'm right about this.
Yeah.
I'm that person sometimes.
Yeah, of course. We're all stubborn.
We know everything. I mean, okay, I don't think I know everything, but you know.
But there are pockets where I'm like, yeah, this is, I know what this is. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Do you have, like, before you go into a show, do you have any, like, pre-show rituals that you do? Not really.
Not really. If for some reason I do feel like, well, I don't know. I guess I just am always kind of preparing myself for improv. Like, I have a regular improv practice, and so there is something almost, like, meditative or, like, I don't even realize how I'm preparing myself anymore because it's, like, such a part of the routine. But, yes, I think I like, am probably, like, taking deep breaths. I'm centering myself. I'm, I don't do so much the, like, I don't hear it anymore, but I used to have a, like, I would hear the inner voice being like, you know, you're supposed to do this. Just trust yourself, like, whatever. But it's in there still. It's in the way I'm centering. I also just, like, mentally get myself ready a little bit to, like, focus, listen, and connect.
I love it.
And feel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so succinct, too. I love that.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'll usually, like, take a little bit of time and kind of do, like, a little meditative thing just to be, like, focused and be like, I want to connect. You know what I mean? And I'll just, like... Like, sometimes the idea I have is, like, I want to make love on stage and just, like, bring joy into it. So, like, I kind of think about what I want for the show. And then sometimes it all goes out the window.
Yeah. I try to just get myself in a place to be, like, super present. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Super present and like, with my underbelly showing. Like,
oh, I love that.
So that I feel the things. Like,
ooh.
Because for me, that's a part of how I truly listen.
Ooh, I love that. I don't know if I can. I that sounds so visceral and so cool. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I do that. You know?
Yeah.
I think I might.
I'm very energy based.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
That just is you.
And that's a lot of the healing work I do too. I mean, it's just like, for me, that's everything's energy. It's also, I think, why. I mean, auditions are hard.
Yeah.
At least improv ones. I feel like I do better at, like, other ones for some reason.
Totally.
But all auditions are kind of hard. But improv ones, I think for me, especially because I'm very, like, I'm like an empath.
Do you pick up the other energy
in
the room?
I feel everybody's energy. Oh my God. And I very much, in general, am trying to connect to that energy. And then I'm like, oh,
whoa.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like I literally feel like I'm drowning. And, like, it's such a weird feeling. I'll be, like, mentally and emotionally fine about things. And then I, like, feel all this stuff. But, you know, I've seen it as a good opportunity for me to work on how to, like, protect, you know, like, I've already worked on in my life protecting myself more from, like, picking up too much energy. So this is just a area in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm still getting used to this
learning
one,
but
I'm getting better and better at it. And I'm kind of, like, happy that I still get to audition in the sense that I still haven't totally mastered it, you know? And I'm like, this is good for me. This is a good growing opportunity for me. And, like, whether you get on certain teams or not, like, honestly, I think not getting on teams has probably made me grow more than anything.
Yeah. I in the last episode with Kimia, like, because I was, like, cut from a Herald team, and that was, like, a huge, devastating feeling. But in the process, I think I learned a lot of new things. And even though it was very hard, there were still... Do you know what I mean? In our, you know what I mean, quote unquote, like, failures or things that would be, like, bad or not what we expected, oftentimes there are, like, these fruits that we would have never tasted had we not experienced that, which then help us get to the next space that's even better.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, like, I trust the universe, and the universe does throw terrible and good things at you all the time. And yeah, I found a lot of help in getting through those times that feel bad, like very like viscerally, yeah. And like yeah. Your first gut instinct might be like, this is bad, you know? Like,
yeah.
I found all of my key to like getting through things like that is just, you know, staying positive, like trying to see bigger picture, knowing that like you're going to come out of this growing. And yeah.
Totally.
And if you love this, like, I don't know, just keep doing it. Anything you love, just pursue. Like, I know I'm doing what I love. So I'm
yes.
just going to work at it and create. And I'm so lucky I get to like do it here all the time. And
yes.
It's so cool. Improv is the coolest thing for your brain. I'm pretty sure it's going to like make my brain a super brain. Like, you literally are like, you see it. If you continue doing this work, like, you have to recognize that you can do things that you couldn't do, like, even a month ago or a year ago. Like, when you work on a new exercise or you work on a new
yeah.
thing, like, it's so hard at first, and then you get comfortable with it, and that is big. Like, give yourself a pat on the back for all the little things, because they are important. Like,
yes, I love that you're saying this, because I think sometimes I'll go to the reverse, where I feel like improv is so ephemeral, and I feel like it lacks tangible
mm-hmm.
Milestones
mm-hmm.
In our growth independently or like individually,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's so cool to look exactly at what you're saying
yeah.
and being like, look, before I didn't know how to do this opening well, now I can do this opening well. Before I didn't know how to articulate my point of view on a premise initiation, now I do.
Yeah.
And I think I forget to do those things and like go to like catastrophe where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But yes, let's celebrate ourselves for those milestones.
I mean, we all go to those moments for sure, but that this is what gets me back on.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
That's so smart, because I think sometimes like with artistic endeavors it doesn't feel as clear cut, but like you just
yeah.
proved what I've thought wrong, and I love that you did it.
I mean, pursuing artistic endeavors, like not just from my family's cultural background, in general a lot of people think it's a risky choice, and
yeah, my parents,
why would
yeah.
I be the one who gets chosen out of all these people, or like whatever, what are the odds? Yeah, the odds are bad. Okay. but I don't know if this is what you have to do, like fuck the odds,
right?
Like, and of course, you know, I know a lot of people have to compromise in certain ways, but at least, I don't know, at least you get a job in a creative field or something eventually, even if it's not exactly the avenue you thought you would approach it from. Or
yeah.
I think it's so important to not give up on doing something that you love to do if you can. Yeah.
Yes, I love it too. Like, in those moments of, because I've certainly had times where I've been like, am I doing the right thing? Should I just abandon mm-hmm. everything and like go get a PhD? You know, like in
yeah.
What are the pieces that help you keep going? Like, not only mm-hmm. is it like your love, but is there anything else that you think about or talk about where you're like, no, this is, I do need to keep pursuing the thing I love. How do you
yeah.
reinforce that in yourself?
I mean, for me, like, it's so intrinsically tied to my life and saving my life, and I can't, like, I don't know if I can separate it.
Right.
I don't think I can. I have to see this out.
Great. I love that. I love
and,
that.
And, I mean, the only other things that I don't know, career-wise, whatever, like, I don't know. I do have, like, natural energy healing abilities, and I do sometimes sessions with people and things like that. And
I'm so curious.
And
about
I love
this.
To cook. I'm a great cook. I could, but I never really wanted to do it for a restaurant.
Yeah.
Seems too stressful. And I have, like, you know, I'm the most active I've ever been in my life doing this, and it's incredible. Because I was almost bedridden for like those 2 years.
Wow.
Or maybe it was more than 2 years, even for the few little years that. Transitioning, and yeah, I don't know, it's so interesting to go and like not seeing a lot of people either. I was pretty isolated.
That's so
and then,
hard.
Like, but this is also the first place where I feel like I found my peers. Like,
yeah,
I remember doing therapy and my therapy being like, oh, you just haven't found your peer community, and I was like, they don't exist, you know, like I'd never met, I don't know, I just hadn't been a part of any community like UCB.
yeah,
it's really incredible to be working with the people that like you admire, that all support you, that you're so excited to support them, like just getting to be around everyone here. I don't have moments of thinking I should leave ever. Mm-hmm. I do have moments where I need to like just pep myself up that mm-hmm. I'm like, you got this. Like, just be you. Like, just be you and just keep working.
That's
you know?
All we can do. Yeah. That's truly all we can do. And I know, yeah, for myself, you know what I mean? Like, and I know we're not supposed to do it, but like, I'll like get into this like hole where I'm like, I should be further along than I am. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know what I mean? All this other stuff. But truly, I have to like divorce it and yeah. just be like, nope, you're just going back to who you are.
Yeah.
What do you want to do next? All you can focus on is like, do you want to finish that writing project? Or do you want to, like, just meet with a friend for coffee? Like, mm-hmm. what's going to be the best thing to serve you? Man, yeah. that's so cool.
Yeah. And just to touch on a small thing that you mentioned, like, what do I have to show for this? I remember kind of early on one of my teachers just being like, don't put all your eggs in improv's basket, like taking me aside and just being like,
that is such a good
note. You need
to
make stuff. And it was true. It's totally true. But I will also say, on the other hand, like, okay, I don't know what rewards or validation people are expecting from the improv side of things. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, maybe you don't get exactly what you thought of it. And even mm-hmm. if you get on those things, yes, like, if you want a career outside, you have to do other things.
Right.
But it also gave me, you know, like it's given me the person who's going to do that other work.
Yeah.
And that's priceless. And yeah. like the work that I'm able, the like kind of stuff I will be able to do now because of it is a million times more authentic and whatever, like
you have a deeper knowing yeah. and you're more open to it yeah. and can facilitate it.
Yeah,
I love that. I just had something flash through my head and then it went away. That sometimes in life I think we can get so focused on outcome mm-hmm. That like it's like no, like I want to be engaged in the activities I love, like mm-hmm. I want to, you know, have an improv practice and be there doing it because I enjoy that with no goal beyond being in that moment and building together. Because I think building with another person out of mm-hmm. nothing, I think is the coolest thing we could probably do on the planet.
It's incredible. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
And no one besides improvisers wants to do it at all. It sounds like a nightmare to everyone else. That reminds, yeah, I don't know, just little things like that when like people who are not improvisers ask you what you do and then they're like, oh, yikes. Or like, you're just like, oh, yeah. And I, you know, and that desk job is a yikes city for me.
Totally.
You know?
So, me too. Like soul crushing. Yeah. I've done it and I hated it. You know, I yeah. just can't. I
felt like a bad person for it. Yeah. I was like, I'm a bad person that I can't do this work. I like beat myself up a lot about it. I was like, what's wrong with me? Oof. Everybody does this stuff. What, I think I'm too good for this or something?
Right, there's like a lot of judgments that can happen like that. I totally understand yeah, that. Yeah. I totally understand that. Like, why do yeah. I get, why can I not do the thing that is expected of people mm-hmm. and that other people have to do, yeah. you know?
And I respect it and I'm grateful for everyone who does
me too.
Everything they do. But you know, some people are good at it and some people love it.
Yeah, and they probably, yeah. their brains fire in a way where it's yeah. just like, oh my God, I love city planning so much. And they're yes. like excited to build a road.
And it's so great. But me, I'm like, what? What does this stuff mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to spend our time doing the things that like make us happy, that mm-hmm. heal us, that make yeah. us become better humans, that get us to grow, because growing, yeah. I think, is one of the most exciting things about being alive.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And improv is an incredible thing that, like, propels you forward like nothing else, to literally constantly find new walls and break through them. Because every wall you break through, there's another wall coming. And
And honestly, it's really amazing.
Yes, yeah, it's the best. It's so funny because it's just like, it just, you know what I mean? It feels like
it's like a weird video like game loop or something.
Yeah, like a good Sisyphus. Like you're pushing a boulder, but you're still going to have that boulder, but it's going to be a different boulder. Yeah. But you're also excited to push up that boulder because you're going to become stronger and better.
You got the boulder up, you're like, oh, I got this. And like, honestly, the next boulder's probably bigger.
And like more pokey.
Yeah. And you're like,
but you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's so great. Do you have any like final thoughts, or where can people find you online or in person?
UCB is great. Classes are great. You guys, God, thank you. Thank you all very much.
Oh.
To all my teachers that I didn't mention, to all the teachers I did, like, you have helped form me. And I've helped form myself. And as far as seeing me, I host The Score the first Tuesday of every month here at the Inner Sanctum stage. And it's at 10 p.m. and it's a very fun show. We do a silent soundtrack. Improv set. So we have a live musician always play music for us, and we usually have a UCB guest come and play with our team. It's such a wonderful experience. It's really so fun.
That's so cool.
And we have a soundtrack jam at the end, a regular soundtrack jam. So if you come, you get to get up and play with us and the guest, and that's been a really fun addition to the show. Other than that, nowhere consistent currently.
I mean, that's consistent.
Yeah. That's my consistent one. Other than that, maybe a Clubhouse, maybe at UCB.
Yeah. I wanted to talk on the indie scene, and we didn't get a chance to, because I was like,
indie scene's great. It's important. Do it.
Yeah. And I feel like you're like a master. I feel like you have your hands in all the pots.
Too many. I will just say very quickly, I thought, you know, like, I don't know. I've had the thing where I've had like long teams, but they all like, and I've never had one that's just like lasted the whole time, but I've been here a long time.
Same. Yeah.
It would be a really long time for it to last. But I do, in the sense of boot camp. Again, this is not a commercial.
Oh, I'm so glad we hit it three times. That's so satisfying.
We had to. But yeah, that group of people, even though it's a big group of people, I've been working with these people like 5 days a week every month for years. It like flows who's there, but there's always a pretty consistent group, and it's great to ever do shows with those people or anything. It's great. Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has like truly been a delight.
Thank you.
I really loved
this
it.
So great.
Thank you for bringing yourself and opening up and telling us your experience, because I think that's so
cool. I mean, that's what I
so
do.
Cool.
You practice what you preach.
I love it. It's what we got to do. And I'm going to get into this part of it. And that was a long form conversation. Tune into the next episode when Ruha will be our host. Thank you so much for listening to this. And, you know, I hope you grow as a person, too.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at UCBtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.